The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We will have Jody Jackson on a Monday. Jody is on the road with the Diamondbacks down in Texas. They're still in the wild card hunt. Jody also will be talking with us about the Cardinals and who Kyler was exactly throwing to on Saturday night. And Jacoby Brissett, I was impressed with Jacoby Brissett. So we'll have Jody with us talking Cardinals and Diamondbacks on the road coming up here in about 10 minutes. Also, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Always good to catch up with John. I saw a story where Jimbo Fisher is already laying scent that he wants to get back into coaching, which, like, dude, you just got hired by the ACC network. Like, ESPN has to know. So it's interesting to just see these guys try to work their magic. And we'll also talk about Big 12 quarterbacks. Where does John put Sam Levitt? Where does he put Noah Fafita? And talking all college football with John Wilner, as we do every week. That comes up here at 10:30. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Went to Camp Tonizona on Saturday. You know, if U of A would go to Camp Tonizona or have something like it, I would go too. I'm hearing from these U of A nitwits. And again, I didn't go to ASU, didn't go to U of A. I don't care. But training camp, there's nothing unique about sitting in a bubble and having a coach saying everybody looked good. There is something unique about going out in the middle of a forest and a coach actually saying, we look lousy, we stink, we're this, we're that. And that's what Kenny Dillingham has done. There's something different. That's not a shot of Brent Brennan. It's just, I don't like August. I don't. People get excited for football, but they're just trying to stay healthy. Like, let me just go on a rant here for a minute. The people that are, man, preseason NFL football is so exciting. It's so great. It's so this. Let's get really clear. Patrick Mahomes was one of one in 48 seconds of play for a touchdown. And the fan paid full price, full fare to watch Jacoby Brissett battle it out. you had players on the field getting carted off, getting destroyed here in August. It's overreaction August. And people still try to, you know, justify it. The NFL wants an 18th regular season game. That's what they want. They don't care about these players. That's why it's the next man up mentality. That's what it is. They are pieces of meat in the NFL. The nice side stories that we tell and all that stuff, it's fine. Fantasy football and gambling, it's fine. There's betting lines on NFL preseason games. Even though the starters aren't playing, please tell me how much sense that makes. Please tell me how much sense that makes. Am I supposed to get over the top moon about Shedeur Sanders showing for Cleveland? I guess. And then I guess not. Am I supposed to get over the top excited? I watched Tyler Shuck for a bit yesterday and Spencer Rattler because the Cardinals open in New Orleans and both those guys are local quarterbacks. Am I supposed to make a determination about this one is better than that one? No. No. So, you know, a preseason game is just something you wish they would just call practices and not charge you guys full freight. Seriously, if you're listening to everything that's in, if you paid full price to go to preseason NFL football and the game's ended a tie, which it's fine, you've seen enough, but they're just practices. They are not games. So just call them that and slash the prices or get your 18th regular season game because the NFLPA can't get out of their own way. The owners have them over a barrel. Eventually, it'll go to 20 weeks. Eventually, there'll be teams that are playing in April. Eventually, there's just going to be this mass push. So, thank God there's some other sports going on right now. Like the Diamondbacks, if they had not crapped the bed last week in those two losses to the Padres with the bullpen, they're six out of the wild card today, and they've got four with the Rockies later this week. You know, they're in Texas. Jody's going to be with us in a couple minutes. But it's not like the season is over. You feel like the season is over. What was it? I saw a note about how the Guardians have gained 10 and a half games in the standings in the last month. By the way, two of their guys in their bullpen are out of baseball because of betting and gambling on games. And they've managed somehow to stick with it. So you just don't know. I think they've got to go about 30 and 15, 29 and 15. I think they have 34 games left, the Diamondbacks. So, is the old thing anything possible? Sure. It's just they get to the back end of this bullpen, and for some reason, this organization cannot figure out how to get five arms together for a season. I don't know why that is. I really don't. Because if you think back to all the games that have been blown this year, the bullpen, what is it, 30 games, I believe, 30 games where they've had a lead and lost it. That's in half. They're right there with the Dodgers. That's how dumb this has been. Not saying they are the Dodgers, but it's kind of ridiculous. There's a lot of pay-per-view stuff in the news cycle today. Pay-per-view is coming to an end. I'm going to write about that in three dot thoughts. I'm going to write a little bit about the WNBA and how the Mercury and the WNBA just missed the point. Their season should be ending right around now, including playoffs, so it just doesn't get overrun by the busy sports calendar of college, pro, high school football. I'm going to get into that a little bit. And what else? Oh, Camp Tanazona. So at Camp Tanazona, it was like 3 weeks ago, I get a heads up. Hey, they want to improve the weight room over at Arizona State. And I'm thinking, okay, they did a new weight room like 8, 9 years ago. We did the story and all that stuff. But weight rooms get turned around in a hurry. And my understanding is Arizona State's weight room is dead flat last in the Big 12 conference. When you show up at somebody's house and it's brand new, and then 5 years later, it doesn't feel brand new, and there's things that you have to change. A weight room is like the calling card, along with how much money are you going to pay us to come here? If you don't have a cool weight room, you don't have a big stash of cash, forget it. So it took, and it's over on the side if you want to watch the story. It took a group, the Soul Devils, and they've done projects in the past, like getting trams for the football players to get over and back from the bubble. They put the practice field in, the turf field in, and it's actually branded Soul Devil Field up at Camp Tanazona. It's a group of businessmen and women, and they raised $1.5 million in 3 days last week. So I started talking to people that were part of the ask, part of the funding, and just looked at it and said, "How'd you guys put this together?" So it's a Business of Sports deep dive. It's over on the website too. High school football gets started in just over 2 weeks. We have plenty to get to on that. We are going to be part of a big production with CW7 and the Fiesta Bowl. I'm very excited to talk about, I don't know if I'm going to do it today, but it's going to involve Jody. It's going to involve Devin. It's going to involve Spurge. It's going to involve Jordy, Eliav, Kayla. It's going to involve all of our team. It's going to be cool. So love that football season is here. All right, on the other side, Jody Jackson, we will do some Diamondback talk because she's there with the team in Texas, and then get over to the Cardinals with her, and then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jody Jackson joins us on the road. She's in Texas with the Diamondbacks, brought to you by Shamrock Farms. We appreciate Shamrock Farms and Rockin' Protein for their support. All right, you're in Texas getting ready for, you know what, Jody? It's a big series. If they hadn't lost the two games the Padres last week that they led, the Diamondbacks would be like four back in the wild card. They're not dead, in my opinion. Am I wrong?
I mean, they're definitely not dead. No, I mean, they're kind of still in the spot where they were before the whole, trade deadline crisis, as guys were, everybody just looked a little bit out of it, yeah, I mean, what really hurt was just getting swept by the Astros. The struggle in Pittsburgh, the struggle in Detroit. I mean, that really, and all of that happened, prior to what, taking those big bats off of your lineup. So what we're seeing now is a team that, yeah, has a little momentum playing the Rockies. They did what they needed to do. They swept the Rockies, scored 25 runs, had an historic inning Sunday with nine straight hits. in an 8-run fifth inning. So, I mean, anything can happen, Brad. I heard someone talk about, people keep bringing up the Tigers last year. You can look at even the D, it's a different landscape in this National League. We're seeing the Padres are still really hot. You're seeing the Dodgers are hanging in there despite some of their issues. Shohei is still hitting homers, and and the Reds, they're going to face the Reds, and there are going to be some opportunities for some teams are going to have to struggle, and if the D-backs continue to ascend, there anything can happen. That is very true.
Okay, so the Padres and Dodgers meet 6 times in the next 9 days. So there's going to be guys just, and then the Padres and Giants play another team in front of the Diamondbacks this weekend, I believe it is. So I guess from my point of view, there's two things. If the bullpen hadn't been so bad early in the season, or just this season in general, and there were 5 or 6 more wins, they'd be right there, which is
That's
really
right.
hard to stomach as the season has progressed. So there's that. The other side of it is you're meeting Texas. You're there. It's probably hot, humid, summer, Texas. Eovaldi's pitching tonight. Not an easy task on any way, shape, or form. So this road trip, you go 4-2 and you're happy. 2 losses to the Rangers. You sweep Colorado. Is that about right? That's where they need to be. Five
Yeah,
and
so it's a big week. It's 7 games. They're going to play 3 here and then 4 in Colorado. Colorado's nuts. Should they probably win all 4? I mean, yeah, they probably should, but yeah, it's really hard to do. So, I think, you'd love to see them win 3 out of 4 against the Rockies. Maybe the Rockies are that bad that you take 4, but as well as I do, it's a wacky place to play ball at Coors Field. If you don't control the at bats, if you don't keep the ball in the yard, it's hard to say what could happen. But yeah, Texas is the real thing. I have no problem. The D-backs against the Rockies, they should do well. The Rangers are a different animal. The Rangers, as we all know, they feel strongly about their postseason chances, even though they're really still, I think they're like 5 out, or they're not as close as you might think for a team where Chris Young, the general manager, went out and got Merrill Kelly. Gave up, a couple of really good prospects, a couple of decent prospects to get Merrill Kelly. So we know how the Rangers feel, and the Rangers are pitching all season long. They have pitched well. Eovaldi has a 1.38 ERA. So if you, I mean, I love that the D-backs just put up all these runs, and they're going to go in there tonight with that mentality. But this Rangers team, it's very tough. It's hard to score runs against them, even going back to the World Series. This is a team where, we were here last year in May. I feel like the D-backs have not, they certainly haven't been able to hit the way they normally do against this Rangers team, but you never know what you're going to see. And hopefully if they can put up some, not only run, some good at bats, if they can score a couple runs in each of these games, and not get clamped down on, that gives me a lot of hope, because it is a new style of offense. It's a pass the baton. It's a run the bases. If that works to some extent, it's not going to work like it did against the Rockies. It just isn't. They have better quality pitching, but that will tell me a lot about what this team has.
Do you know, is Merrill pitching in this series? I hadn't
He
seen.
is supposed to pitch Wednesday. So, Brad, this is going to be a big, as Torrey called it yesterday, a showdown. Texas showdown, I guess, between Merrill and Zach Gallen, two good buddies.
That's cool.
And
That
as much
question.
as it's Zach and what's that, Brad?
Is it Wednesday, Zach and
It
Merrill?
is supposed to be Wednesday, which is the day game, of course. It will replay on, I mean, if you're streaming it, you can watch it anytime. If you're watching it on television, it will replay again in the evening if you want to watch the big showdown in the evening. So yeah, it should be fun because, it is about Zach and Merrill, but it's more about the hitters and Merrill. So that should be pretty interesting.
What do you do in Texas? Do you know Texas well enough? Do you go do your running and all that stuff?
I do. I just ran this morning. It's a little, I mean, when it says 79, 80, and it feels like 90 though, which is,
You.
I'm actually okay with it. But yeah, they have a nice gym here too, so that's a bonus. But yeah, there's not, I mean, it's kind of residential over here, so we're not downtown, because as Arlington is in the middle kind of Dallas-Fort Worth, and so we're not like in any downtown, and we're not actually right in Arlington either. But it's not in the downtown area, which is actually better for running, better to run in a neighborhood than downtown, I guess. But
What Jody is saying is she's there to work. and run a little bit.
Well, I am here to work. Yeah.
Not,
I
so.
do. There's a lot with the series because it does bring back, even though I was not able to come to these World Series games, but it brings back a lot of memories of these two teams, which if you think it just is wild, Brad, to think back to 23, neither one of these teams would have been picked to get to the World Series. And it was kind of cool that, they came together as overachievers, I guess you could say, and got into the big, on the big stage.
Jody Jackson with us for a few minutes on the road. Jody Jackson brought to you by Shamrock Farms and Rockin' Protein. She joins us every week. Jody, let's go over to the Cardinals, and they are in Denver this week. What do you want to see in week two that you didn't see in week one outside of Kyler throwing it directly to somebody from the other team?
Yeah, that was a little shocking. And he just, kind of went over it like, well, I need to put more air under the ball and make the mistakes now and all that stuff. But it still was a little shocking to see. More of the same. I think it was important. I do love the fact that the starters got their feet wet out there in a real game. I think that, I guess I'm a little old school that way. I feel like they should at least play in one game. And so they did that. Look, the run game looked good. I think the running back tandem of Benson and Connor and then Amari DiMercato continues to impress people. I mean, there's a lot there, Brad, defensively. The D line looked pretty good. It was shocking though to see those turnovers early in the game. And then Greg Dortch and DJ Dallas both had some issues with ball security. So you definitely want to clean that up. So, I mean, I was impressed. More Will Johnson, more of these young guys in the secondary. That was also not, again, it's the Chiefs coming out quick strike after that turnover. Will Johnson had the pass interference, so that's a good rep for him though to see that you can't get away with that in the NFL. Then you had Max Milton, getting burned on the touchdown. So hey. Like, let's get all this out of the way early, and then let's settle in. I think, and then Jacoby Brissett is a big story. I
Yes.
enjoyed listening to him last week talk because he had great perspective on quarterback play and on, hey, sometimes it's about doing the basics, and that's a really good lesson for Kyler too. I think sometimes it's about taking the check down or just getting, getting everyone aligned. And sometimes it's just the basics that matter the most, and Brissett looks like he's going to be a solid backup. And that's really what you can get out of when we look at quarterback play. If we're not going to see Kyler again, which we probably won't, you're looking at the other guys.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett, I could turn to and say, get in there for him because he's just not figuring it out after all these years. I can turn to Jacoby Brissett. If Kyler Murray's out concussed in the second quarter at New Orleans in the season opener and not feel like the wheels are going to fall off, I haven't felt that way about the guys behind him, and I'm not going to rip them, but it just feels like a tremendous upgrade at that position in terms of the backup to Kyler. Very few quarterbacks, Jody, make it through the season unscathed. So I thought Brissett showed a lot. I thought that was the highlight, at least for me. There weren't many. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and Kyler's a guy that has been able to dodge a lot of that as far as contact. We all know that his ability to be slippery is what keeps him out on the field a lot. And I think the O-line, another thing that I was looking for, and I talked about this on the pregame huddle on radio, was Jonah Williams. Jonah Williams coming off knee surgery. And back in there, and he looked pretty good. I thought it was just important to see him out there because he's one guy that I feel like was a little under the radar in camp. Didn't see him in the one-on-one drills as much. So I think that is a good sign. I think again, the O-line is potentially a strength of this team. If they stay healthy, that's a big if with O-linemen because we all know how beat up they can get in there. So yeah, Kyler, that he's a guy that for the most part has stayed pretty clean, and you hope that's the case. But I do agree, Jacoby Brissett is fine. It's kind of like Colt McCoy a few years back, going back.
Oh, yeah, that's a
I
good
feel
point.
like he was a guy that when he was still effective, and we found out that the first year with Gannon, when Josh Dobbs had to be called into, it had to be traded for because Colt kind of fell off with the arm ability. But Colt was that kind of guy, and I think Jacoby Brissett is that kind of guy that can definitely get the job done and be a very a good voice in the ear for Kyler and Clayton Tune as well, in that room.
I'll let you go off that. Safe travels. Interesting week ahead. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
There is Jody Jackson on the road today, brought to you by Shamrock Farms, Rock and Refuel. We appreciate their support, and Jody as well. We're back with more after this timeout. John Wilner is with us for a few minutes. Games get started next week. Of course, the nationally syndicated columnist and a contributor right here on Sports 360 AZ. I have to wonder, did you see any of Shedeur Sanders or Jackson's dart over the weekend? I am not a NFL preseason guy at all. But if you didn't, it's fine. If you did, what'd you think?
You know what? I didn't. I snuck away for a little family time before the marathon begins for college football and basketball season. I didn't. But, I mean, generally speaking, I don't think the preseason has any merit, really, to what we're going to see during the regular season, especially for quarterbacks. I think Shedeur is set up to overachieve his draft position and underachieve the college hype that he had for 2 years, right? The truth is going to be somewhere in the middle with him. Jackson Dart, I think, could end up being a lot better pro than many people think, because he was not, you know, he didn't necessarily get all the spotlight at Ole Miss, whereas Shedeur did at Colorado. So we'll see where it lands, but I kind of like Dart as a long-term NFL player.
Okay, let's go over the Big 12 quarterbacks this season.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're sitting there doing Wilner Hotline, and you do so well, John, your view, the people that you speak to, where would you put Sam Leavitt in terms of quarterback top to bottom Big 12? And then where would you put Noah Fafita?
Well, first, let me preface it by saying you can make a good case that the Big 12 has the best quarterbacks in the country collectively. Experience, proven performance, understanding of the system that they're in. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the Big 12 is far ahead, I think, of the Big 10 in those regards. Now, Big 10 quarterbacks have a lot of potential, but it is untapped and, you know, a lot of unknowns in that conference. So, Leavitt, Fafita, the competition's pretty stiff in the Big 12, frankly. Leavitt, clearly top tier. You could argue he should be number one based on what he did last year, familiarity with the system, what he's got coming back, especially with Jordan Tyson at receiver. I do wonder about the domino effect of losing Cam Scataboo on the entire offense, right? It's not just you got to fill a hole in the running game. It's the defenses don't have to worry about that running game as much, so they can place more attention on Tyson. And what does that do to Leavitt? It forces him to go to his second and third reads more often, which causes him to stay in the pocket, which puts more pressure on the offensive line. So you can kind of domino effect the Scataboo departure, but I would put Leavitt certainly top two or three. Fafita, more unknowns. If he plays anything like he did in 2023, he's at the top. If he plays anything like he did in 2024, he's closer to the bottom.
Yeah.
He's got a new coordinator, Seth Deggy. They should be better on offense in Tucson. He doesn't have Teteroa McMillan, so he's going to have to. And I think that could end up being a good thing in some ways. It's going to force him to distribute the ball to a wider array of receivers. It's going to force him to see the field better. He can't just lock on one guy.
Right.
But a lot of unknowns.
You know, the point about Scataboo is off the field, too, with him and and all that stuff. I guess if I look at Kansas State, Iowa State as the opener, there are two quarterbacks. They're going to play in Ireland. There's two quarterbacks that have the potential to be at the top of the list, especially the State, in my opinion. But I do think it's a very deep, talented setup within the conference. Is there any reason for that? Why not the SEC? Why not the Big Ten? Or the SEC and Big Ten fans going to say, well, the quality of football isn't as good, and so they're going to stand.
They'll say that for sure. Yeah. Part of the reason is that the guys in the Big 12 weren't elite talents, so they didn't turn pro. Mm-hmm. And that, so they're back for another season. You know, certainly I'm with you, Avery Johnson at Kansas State. as talented physically as anybody in the Big 12? Will he be consistent? Rocco Becht at Iowa State, veteran. But, you know, you go Josh Hoover at TCU. You go Baron Mertens at Texas Tech. Sawyer Robertson at Baylor. I think, I actually think Devin Dampier, the new Iowa, Utah quarterback who transferred from New Mexico, is going to have a huge year. One, he's got a great offensive line in front of him. And two, his offensive coordinator from New Mexico, also Jason Beck, moved to the Utah staff. So he's got a deep familiarity with that system. It's like the quarterbacks are like the Big 12 itself. It's chaos. It's glorious chaos because there's parity. The difference between the best team and the worst team in the Big 12 is small. The difference between the best quarterback and the worst quarterback in the Big 12 is small. So it could be a guy we're not even thinking of. It could be Caden Salter for Colorado who transferred over from Liberty. We have no idea, but there's a lot of guys that are in contention, just like there are a lot of teams in contention for the Big 12 title.
Yeah, Dampier, of course, was here locally. By the way, if your dog, I love the dog barking. So if your dog is there, bring him in.
You can hear the dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's like two rooms away. He's barking at squirrels.
It's squirrels, not you.
He gets up every morning. And he sits on the couch staring at the backyard fence in case there's four-legged furry invaders. So, yeah, my apologies that you can even hear that.
No. We love that. Back with John Wilner for a few minutes. It's all life, man. It's just stuff doesn't get in the way.
Yeah.
In life, why in God's green earth would Jimbo Fisher come out this last week and say, I'm ready to coach again?
Okay. Because he was asked. And the reason I say that is he's starting up on ACC Network as an analyst. And so he's doing some media. He went on a podcast and he was asked. I think until this point, he's kind of kept a low profile, but now he wants to drum up attention for his ACC Network stint, and certainly the ACC is putting him out there so that people will tune in to watch Jimbo Fisher. And so, you know, it's natural. Do you want to get back into it? Now, he's got to find a way to spend that $75 million. I know for you and me, Brad, we don't really have a problem spending our $75 million, but,
right,
you know, Jimbo, who knows what he's been doing with all that money the last, year and a half, 2 years?
I think that's one of those, though, John, in all seriousness, where I would look at and say, I'm focused here on the ACC Network. This is a great situation for me to be in. Let's get into the season. And it's some point during the season, because what that does now, well, I'll just use Brent Brennan at U of A.
Yep.
There's some coaches around the country, and we could point at a lot of programs, especially in the SEC, that are under fire. And there could be
perhaps
changes this year.
Yes.
What he's done now is put it out there in August. Yeah, AD. Yeah, search firm. I'm ready to come back. I don't know. I found that move to be a little
self-serving.
A little, especially with, like you said, the dollar figure. So if you want to get back in the game, go do your job at the ACC Network for about a month or so. And then say, yeah, sure. Right opportunity shows up. I think now it's going to be all season long. As soon as a coach goes 0-2, 0-3, right?
Yeah.
That's his strategy. Maybe that's his people saying, hey, get it out there right away. I can't imagine that ESPN, although you and I are talking about the ACC Network right now, but I can't imagine ESPN's like, we're investing time into this guy. We're putting money into developing him as an analyst. And he's already saying, I'm out the door.
Yeah, well, but you're talking about logic and common sense and all that kind of thing that does not exist in college football.
No.
Especially it doesn't exist with college football coaches who are collecting $75 million buyouts. And, you know, I agree with you, but to me, that's what these guys do, right? They answer questions. They talk about themselves. They promote themselves and their brands. Their agents push them to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what ESPN's reaction is or the ACC Network's reaction specifically, but it's Jimboing.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard Norvell's under fire.
Yeah.
Right. So you look at the Florida State situation, which people have already connected Dion to.
Sure.
Another job that could come available. Before I get you out of here this week, West Coast rivalries, because of what's gone on with the Pac-12 imploding.
Yep.
We had the Big Ten. We had the Big 12. As you sit here right now and look at the Apple Cup, Does Washington State even have a chance in heck now because of what's gone on with those programs? What do you think of Washington this year?
I think Washington is in position to have a little bit better than expected year. You know, their quarterback, Damon Williams Jr., Arizona guy, right? Another Arizona quarterback.
Got away.
Yep. Went to Arizona or signed with Arizona under Fish, followed Fish to Seattle. He could have a huge year, right? And if that's the case, then I think Washington is in that, you know, 9-10 win window. I think the Cougars are in trouble this season. They lost a lot. They changed coaches, right? They, you know, brought in their coach, Jimmy Rogers from South Dakota State. We'll see. Roster overhaul, NIL issues, just the issues that you would expect from a team that's kind of in this transition period like they are. But Apple Cup, I mean, the Cougars won in Seattle last year. This game is in Pullman. You know, it's a toss-up to me just because of the rivalry nature. But if you're looking at the two teams, kind of the big picture of their seasons, I think the Huskies are headed up. Cougars are headed down.
Is there any of these rivalries left that look like real rivalries that this year, like two teams very competitive playing for something on the line? I mean, Oregon State doesn't appear to be that.
No.
Stanford Cal doesn't appear to be that. I think Arizona State doesn't appear to be that as we sit here today.
Right.
USC, UCLA, you know, is UCLA making enough of a push?
Yep.
USC, is he going to be coaching for his job? That to me feels like probably the most intriguing.
Could be. Or I would offer up the holy war. You know, we'll see how BYU responds with a quarterback change.
Yeah.
But I think Utah's going to be good. That could end up being a terrific game. It's, you know, it's a little bit light for sure in that regard. But a year ago, we would not have predicted that Arizona was going to be near the bottom of the Big 12 and ASU would be near the top, right? So I look at the Territorial Cup as one of those that it's almost like that Seinfeld when George Costanza does the opposite and he climbs to the top. You know, the opposite of what we think is going to happen in Arizona could end up being what happens. So I would not be surprised if we get to the cup and Arizona is playing for a bowl berth or contending for the Big 12 title and ASU is struggling. You have there's no logical explanation for it. And that's sometimes what happens.
Wow. Look at you.
You never know.
A piece of meat out there for the Wildcats to chew on with the Sun Devils.
But it was the same thing last year. Who would have figured ASU picked last coming off, what were they, 3-9? Picked last. Who would have figured that they would win the Big 12 and the Arizona picked, what, third or fourth would be near the bottom? You just never know. And when you're talking about Arizona or ASU, the cycling up and cycling down happens very quickly.
Yeah. I have to wonder, do you have anything there that you're drinking? Like, I am drinking this. I have a cup of coffee. Do you have anything there?
I got some coffee.
Yeah, what is in that coffee? Because you're saying U of A could be above ASU by the time they meet. John, I have to wonder if we need to test that coffee.
I'm just saying it's because it makes no sense that you can't ignore it. Yeah. It's the Territorial Cup specifically, and it's the Big 12 more broadly. It is all mayhem, and that's what makes the Big 12 great.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time. See you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
There is John Wilner, nationally syndicated columnist. He joins us every week. Find his content on the site, and we're back with more after this timeout.